The Beer of the Day podcast contains adult language, adult beverages, and brief nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
From the original Beer of the Day offices in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. We are back where Beer of the Day started in the backyard of Jeff's childhood home, here celebrating his 35th birthday. And it's a nice hot, well, it used to be a nice hot summer day. And the plan was to do this in the daytime, but it's now dark out. But we're going to still drink some pool beers, summer beers, on the show tonight. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Jeff Miller and Britton and Joel Miner. Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Summer beers. I mean, we still have a good month or so of summer left, and we haven't done a summer beer show yet this year, so I figured we could try a few out.
Let's do it.
We're always talking about, on this show, this would be a great beer to have at the pool, right? On a hot day, or lawn mowing beers. You know, we say that a lot. But we don't do a whole lot of those on the show. A lot of IPAs, a lot of, Imperial Stouts, darker stuff. And so it's good to skew a little lighter sometimes and drink some hot daytime beers.
And it works well that we're sitting on a lawn and we're next to a pool in Jeff's parents' backyard, which is nice.
I'm digging it.
So first beer of the night. This is called Summer, some apostrophe R, Summer Ale. This is from Unita Brewing Company in Salt Lake City, 4.0%. This one goes to 4.
Others go to 11.
So, like I said, it's dark now, but we have some light here, and I can tell that it's a slightly cloudy, pale yellow color, half a finger of white head, but we're pouring into small little glasses here.
And this beer is USDA organic. We don't see that too often.
No, we don't.
What does that mean?
It must be that every ingredient is organic for USDA to put their seal on this. I don't really know what that means in a beer. So it's a pretty, it's a little hazy, actually. Hazier than I expected. A lot of little fine carbonation bubbles. Like a golden marigold color. A pretty, very white foamy head.
Yeah. It smells good, but I can't put my finger on what it smells like. It just smells fresh.
Yeah, it smells fresh, and it smells like it's got a lot of yeast in it. I know that sounds weird, but it's got a lot of just like a farmhouse ale smell to it.
I feel like I get cucumber, and I don't know why I taste that.
I think that, too.
Like a little cucumbery?
Yeah. Maybe I think that because they have a cucumber beer that I haven't had it, but it's at home in my refrigerator from the same brewery. But I agree. It's got that cucumber, like spa water consistency.
Yeah, like I like cucumbers because I feel like they are cool and refreshing, and they don't leave like a long aftertaste in your mouth. And the taste that you get from a cucumber is very light and refreshing, and that's what I'm getting from this beer.
Yeah, I get a little bit of tea taste to it, but it's very refreshing. Somehow it like really cleanses your palate. We've had a lot of like sugars and a lot of like really heavy food this afternoon for our barbecue out here in Jeff's parents' backyard, but this beer seems to be cleansing the palate pretty well.
I think there's a lot of flavor for something at 4%. I hear 4% and I'm like expecting the worst.
Yeah. A lot of flavor here, but it's very light. I think this is like if you were to just have a typical pool beer, light beer that you're going to drink. I mean, this kind of fits the bill exactly. I don't think we could have picked a better beer to start out with for that type of style of beer.
It's kind of the epitome of summer ales.
Yeah.
You put this up against any of the big three American light beers, macro brews, Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light.
Oh, I'd pick this.
This blows it out of the water.
Totally.
And all those beers, I think, come in higher at 4%. This one comes out in at 4%, which normally when you're drinking a light ABV beer, you're like, oh, it's not going to have a lot of flavor or taste. There is not one time where I'd rather have a Bud Light or like a Miller Light over this beer. This beer's got a ton of flavor.
Yeah, for sure. All right, off to a good start. Anyone have any interesting beers this week they wanted to mention?
I had a pretty good one from San Francisco, which we have a few San Francisco beers on the show tonight. But I had the Almanac San Francisco IPA, which just came out. It's brand new. And I thought it was one of the best beers I've had for the whole year. And it was kind of this, I would describe it as a delicate IPA, which sounds a little weird, but it was just so like drinkable and fresh and tasty and great hop flavor. The one I had was canned like a week before I tried it. And if you guys can find it, I would highly recommend this Almanac IPA. Not their normal IPA. That's good too, but their San Francisco IPA.
Right. I had that at OTP last week, and it was the best beer they had on tap. So it was impressive. Anybody else?
Yeah, I had a pretty good beer. I had a Funky Gold Simcoe. It was a dry hopped sour ale from Prairie Artesian Ales from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, this beer was impressive. It was, it had everything you're looking for an entry sour beer. It had a lot of peach and a lot of melon flavors and nectarine. And I was just impressed at how just drinkable the sour beer was. I really enjoyed it. Britt and I grabbed it from a local place that a lot of guys talk about that have a unique variety of beers. And we brought it home. We couldn't say enough about how great and just complex this offering was from Partesian. Was it?
Prairie Artisan Ales.
Yeah, Prairie Artisan Ales. It was a great beer.
It was really good. I thought it was a lot more hoppy than Joel picked up on, but that's not unusual since he likes hoppy beers. But yeah, like Joel said, peach, pear, melon, it was really good.
Nice. I'll have to look for that one. Try it out. All right, let's get into the next beer. This is from San Francisco, Anchor Brewing Company, which is the oldest brewery possibly in California. And this is their summer wheat, 4.6% in a can. All the beers on the first half of the show are in a can today.
Highly unusual that all of our beers are in cans.
Yeah, I think the style, I think a lot of, if you're going to have a summer beer, a lot of times you're at the pool, you don't want to be breaking bottles in your pool. It's bad cleanup on getting glass out. The river, it's just very convenient. Camping, convenient for cans. You can crunch them down and then very little cleanup.
Impress the ladies with smacking them on your forehead.
I think what surprises me about this beer is the color of it. When I hear of a wheat beer, I expect it to be hazy.
Yeah.
I think that's just my natural inclination. And this is pretty damn clear for a summer wheat beer. I mean, it's very transparent.
Yep. There's just a couple little bubbles floating up. Thin head on top of that. Golden yellow color.
It's the big bubbles that you see normally in our large-scale breweries that we have in the U.S. It's not like those really fine bubbles. Really like the big bubbles.
I don't get a lot of... I mean, there's a little bit of wheat, but I don't get a lot of wheat in this.
I don't either. I can't really pick up too much of an aroma at all, so...
Yeah, this is a very light beer. I mean, you're not getting much out of it at all, except for a little bit of wheat and a little bit of sweetness.
Yeah, the smell is just... I don't really pick anything up other than it smells sweet.
Yeah, and I think some people don't like the large-scale brewer like beers that you get from like Miller or Bud Light because you get like a little bit of an aftertaste of sweetness or metal or can. This doesn't have this, but it doesn't have a ton of flavor that you're really desiring either. It's not bad at all. It just doesn't have a lot of complexity to it.
I think the one thing I do notice is in the aftertaste, there's a little lemon zest that it finishes out with. A lot of beers have a crisp aftertaste, but I think this lemon zest aftertaste kind of mirrors the crispness where it kind of leaves your palate a little dry where you're trying to you want to take the next sip.
I mean, it's super drinkable, 4.5%. I mean, every beer tonight is going to be very drinkable. I mean, I think our highest ABV is like 5.3%, maybe 5.2%. Sadly, I'm drinking a Ballast Point Sculpin as my warm-up beer before this show because I needed some flavor. But this is not bad. I mean,
yeah, but would you rather have this beer or the Summer Ale? I think from a comparison standpoint, we should have had this beer first because it has less of a complex flavor, you know, profile. It's you're right, Dallas. It has a little bit of that lemon, a little bit of that cleansingness, and also a little bit of wheat, but it's not much to it.
Yeah, and this is always a little bit of a tough show to do because you're dealing with a lot of subtleties in beer flavor.
Yeah.
And so you always have to keep that in mind.
I don't like a lot of Anchor beers because I feel like they're either bitter or metallic tasting, and this tastes like neither of those descriptors. It's pretty good for a summer beer. I like it.
Yeah, certainly. All right, let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, so first story tonight. I guess it was one of the bigger news articles. It was kind of surprising. It's not something you really expect a brewery to do. But Stone Brewery in Escondido in San Diego area is, they're going to open a brewery hotel near their location.
I'd go there.
And, you know, we always go on beercations and, you know, we're going to the Northeast. You know, we've been to Seattle. We go down to San Diego. We travel around and drink beer. But this is like the destination for beer drinkers that love Stone beer, I guess. It's a little, I mean, I guess you could stay there and tour around a lot of San Diego breweries. There's about 100 of them. But I guess for really craft beer enthusiasts, this is something to check out. Stone Hotel will debut in early 2018. They are going to be, it's very beer-centric. An inlay on the hotel's driveway artistically displays beer flowing from the tap on the top of the driveway down to Citricado Parkway. They're going to have three on-site bars with a lot of rare Stone beers that they're going to be tapping periodically throughout the day. Complimentary Stone beer immediately upon check-on. In-room growler delivery service. So,
do they leave beers on your pillow instead of chocolate?
Doesn't say that, but that's a great idea. We should maybe suggest that.
I think next to the shower, there should also be a lever for a tap that just pours into your mouth as you're showering.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Do they have a pool area where you can get into a beer spa? I heard that's good for your skin.
Yeah, no mention of that here.
See, they're doing it all wrong then.
Greg Cook, the CEO of Stone, you can't rush a good thing, he says. After originally envisioning a hotel on the property more than 6 years ago, we had put the project on permanent hold due to our need to focus on our core obsession of brewing. When Robert and Untitled Hospitality approached us with the idea of taking the ball and running with it, we found a partner who was fully engaged in the idea of executing the Stone ideals, ethos, and creativity.
Yeah, I feel like if the owner of Stone came to me and said, hey, we have this idea that we're going to have like a beer hotel and I owned a hotel, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to run with that. I mean, it's pretty easy to get on board with drinking beer and having a brewery that's going to offer a bunch of beer while your guests are staying there.
Yeah.
Not to mention a unique idea, right? Like, has anybody done this before? This is like new territory that...
It's just not a hard sale is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea. And the Olympics is just finishing up now, and I have the list of the top five Brazilian beers. Many of these we haven't heard of, but kind of interesting just to see a snapshot of what they're probably drinking down there. Number five, Skol, the official beer of the Olympics. And I guess this was the one thing that Brazil did stock enough of beforehand. So they had plenty of this to go around. It has no relation to the American chewing tobacco product of the same pronunciation.
Oh, how's it spelled?
S-K-O-L.
Okay.
Stella Artois, number four.
Whoa.
It's probably just number four everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Eisenbaum Pale Ale. There isn't much of a craft brewing scene in Brazil, but this stuff is hard to find. In fact, I'm not 100% sure this is exactly what I had. Huh.
Sounds like Ryan Lochte wrote that.
Brahma, the classic Brazilian beer.
I have heard of that.
90% of the time when you order a chop, this is what you get. It's a standard watered-down Pilsner, better than American mass brews, clean and smooth with very little aftertaste, and always serve wonderfully cold. Number one, they have a beer called Antarctica. Wow. When Brazilians order a giant 22-ounce, roughly, bottle to sit at a table on the sidewalk, this is what they usually get. It comes with a plastic cooler tube in it to keep it cold, and a cheaper version of the ones used with white wine in the States, and they pour it into small glasses and sip it before it has a chance to get warm. So,
alrighty then.
Next time you're in Brazil, if there's any urge to go there with all of the horror stories that we've heard in the news over the past 2 weeks, that's what kind of beer you can expect. All right, let's get into the next beer. What do we have?
The Orange Splash from Anchor Brewing Company.
Whoa, wait a minute. There's a Giants logo on this.
We'll see if this beer sounds like a winner to us.
I've never been so excited to be a Giants fan.
The only Giants music I could get was from 1981, so excuse me.
Yeah, that's a pretty good year.
This is it's called Orange Splash. Obviously, this is a beer that is brewed by Anchor Brewing for the San Francisco Giants. It's called Orange Splash. AT&T Park, where the Giants play, in right field, you can hit a ball into the water, and it's called a splash hit. Just today, there was a splash hit.
Span, high, deep, it is out of here, and into the water. And that's going to get that number 70 wiped off the splash hit side.
So there now have been 71 as of today splash hits. Barry Bonds hit 35 of them. So now he hasn't hit quite half of them.
That's what I'm going to say. One player hit most of them.
I was like, there were 70, right?
There were 70, 71? And he had hit half of them, and now there's 71.
Nice.
So there's some steroids in this beer or what?
So Anchor Steam is from San Francisco. It's been a long-known microbrewery.
Anchor.
That's what I said, Anchor Steam.
No, Anchor.
Sorry, Anchor Steam is one of their beers. Sorry.
Yes.
So this beer is orange colored.
It is.
It's aptly named.
It is orange.
With a very off-white, foamy head.
So I've had this beer before. These guys have not. I'm gonna reserve my comments for them.
Aroma wise, I kind of get a little bit of an pithy orange aroma, kind of wheat taste smelling.
Yeah, I definitely smell more wheat than I do citrus. To me, it doesn't smell citrusy at all.
It's a unique taste. I mean, it's a lager. There's something in this, though, that's different. It's a pretty dark-colored lager, and I think there's something in this flavor. I don't know what it is. Is it orange peel in the lager?
It could be, but I get a lot of... there's some maltiness, too, some caramel malts. We're coming up pretty closely, pretty soon. I mean, it's already in the store today. There's already Oktoberfest style beers. I get kind of some of those qualities from this beer. The caramel malt, a little bit German, but this has more of a fruity aspect to it, which doesn't quite fit in that same vein.
So, Britton, you said before on the other Anchor beer there's something that you don't normally like about Anchor beers. What is that?
It so in Anchor Steam, I feel like Anchor Steam is both a little bit too bitter for me and metallic-y. And this for sure has the metallic-y part. Although I will say that I feel like when we have this on tap, it was much more orangey than what I'm getting out of the can.
So I've had this beer quite a bit in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I will tell you that this beer, when it is not like consumed at freezing cold or next to ice temperature, it is not a good beer. There is something about this beer that when it even gets close to being cold, not freezing, it is awful. It's the metal comes out really intense. And if you're drinking this, you know, just a little bit, like at 45 degrees, you're not going to enjoy this beer at all. It just, it's like kind of like the end of a Corona. It just gets that really bad flavor when it's not super cold.
So I think Joel's exaggerating a little. Gilgamesh Mega Monster is still by far way worse than this beer. I would drink this beer. But it does, it is a little bit bitter. And I think that's kind of what Dallas is alluding to with like the orange, like pithiness or the peel or whatever you want to say. It doesn't seem to be like a hop bitterness. It's more like a citrusy bitterness. And then there's the metallic-y part.
I think it's citrusy. I get a lot of like breadiness, like bready malt characteristics, like whatever sort of grain bill they use in here or malt bill. I get a lot of that flavor.
I do too.
It's not really orangey, which is weird because on, I feel like on draft, it's very, it's almost like somebody squeezed an orange directly into the beer. Like it's that citrusy and I'm not getting that out of the can.
Maybe they did. All right, we'll take our break. When we come back, we have three more summer beers to try, including a strange brew that is strawberry and another beer that we have to try, which is cucumber. A lot of fruits coming our way next here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you have enjoyed this show over the past 53 episodes and are enjoying episode 54 right now and you want to help us out, you can do so by telling your beer drinking friends about us. We're always looking to get new listeners, and word of mouth is the best way that we can expand our reach and our listenership here. A lot of people don't know what a podcast is and they don't know how to listen to them. So if you show them how to download the podcast app on their phone, subscribe to the Beer of the Day podcast, that's going to help us out a lot. If you want to help us out financially, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. On the website, beeroftheday.com, on the right-hand side, there's a little Amazon banner. You click that, you do your regular shopping, and then we get a little bit of a percentage based on what you spend. It does not cost a single cent more, and we can make money to pay for all of our expenses here on the show, including the beer that we're drinking tonight. For example, just this week, somebody went to the Beer of the Day website, clicked the link, and they bought the Electra Home USB charging alarm clock radio with time projection, battery backup, auto time set, dual alarm. So they spent $34.99, which seems like a really bargain for an alarm clock with that many features.
It does.
And we got 4% commission on that. We made $1.40. A couple of weeks ago, someone bought an espresso machine, which we made a bundle on. Now they have bought the reusable Nespresso capsules.
Wait, the same user?
I don't know if it's the same user, but it's the same machine. It's compatible. I'm assuming they bought the machine, and now they're trying to save some money on the pods. So they have the reusable Nespresso capsules, seal pods, stainless steel, refillable pods, and it's pretty good. 100 count. They paid $68.99 for it at 4%. We made $2.76.
Woo!
Yeah.
So we're just rolling in the money here, and we're going to be able to buy beers on future shows thanks to you shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. Welcome back to the show. Some people here were a little skeptical if I'd be able to drink my previous beer by the time the music ended. I was able to accomplish that feat.
No names, Joel.
That music means it's our Strange Brew segment, which means we find the strangest brew that fits the category. And tonight, it is Strawberry Blonde Ale with Ginger.
I like that episode.
I'm looking forward to this. Strangely.
I'm a strawberry blonde.
This is from Buffalo Bill's Brewing Brewery in Hayward, California, across the bay from AT&T Park, home of Hall of Famer John Miller.
So I'm like a foot away from Jeffrey pouring this beer, and I can smell it while he was pouring it.
Wow. Whew. Gingery, it, man.
This definitely qualifies as a strange brew without even taking a sip. You smell that ginger.
It's gingery. And not like pickled ginger like you get in sushi, like straight up like powdered ginger.
So Britt and I were doing some weeding today, and this smells so intense. It smells like some of the weeds and like trees that we were trimming. It is like so intense.
Smelling this beer is giving me allergies.
Man, it's, no strawberry coming through either. It's just all ginger.
Well, it's just such a powerful aroma.
The color of this is pretty cloudy, and it's different from the other summer beers. It's got some red, I don't know if it's strawberry, but some red hints to this. The hue is not your standard golden color.
I'm really surprised by this. Normally, I can't stand ginger in my beers. I'm just not a fan of the taste. And so I wasn't looking forward to this beer at all. I am genuinely surprised by it because you get some ginger taste initially, but then the strawberry kicks in and it actually tames the ginger, which I thought it would be the other way around. I thought you get some strawberry and then the ginger would kick in and overwhelm. It's completely opposite than what I expected.
I was a little bit hesitant based on the aroma because I thought for sure that the ginger was going to overpower everything, and it doesn't. You do get ginger up front, but the strawberry comes in just like Dallas said and just takes over, and it's pretty pleasant.
I completely agree because I'm used to ginger having this like aftertaste where it burns a little bit. And that is not the case here. The ginger is definitely up front, and then it transforms into the fruit from the strawberry, and then you do not taste the ginger at all after that.
If anything, it gives it just a little tanginess initially, but it's not overwhelming ginger, which is fantastic.
And there's a really pleasant wheat taste at the very end of it. And, you know, when I first sipped this beer, obviously it's because of the ginger, but initially I thought, man, this would pair so well with fish or some sort of like sushi. It is a great flavored beer.
It's much more subtle than I thought it would be based on the aroma.
We were at Total Wine & More today, and they started putting out the Oktoberfest and the pumpkin beers. And we did a pumpkin beer show last year. I'm sure we'll do another one this year. Our favorite pumpkin beer was Buffalo Bill's Pumpkin Ale, and it was that pumpkin spice was perfectly balanced in with this the darker malt characteristics of it. Really good beer. I think that was the only other beer I've had from this brewery, and this is the second one I've had, and I am equally as impressed with it.
That's exactly why I picked this out, because we were so impressed with their pumpkin beer. I see this, and I'm like, Buffalo Bills? I mean, if I saw this label anywhere else, these strawberries and the ginger, like, this is not my type of beer. But knowing, I mean, I have to say, knowing how great their pumpkin beer is, that's what prompted me to buy this. And it's pretty good. I mean, it's for a very fruit-forward beer. This is like a good summer fruity beer.
Now, what I'm trying to figure out is ginger tends to have like a little bit of a bite, right? I wouldn't necessarily call it heat, but ginger can kind of have like a little bit of heat, right? And I'm trying to figure out if the bite that I'm getting is from the carbonation or from the ginger, because I'm not feeling like it's a super carbonated beer.
It's the ginger, I'm sure.
And I'm also impressed at, like, when you have a strawberry ginger beer, you're thinking, oh, it's going to have a little bit of sugar in it. There's barely any sweetness to this beer.
Yeah.
And I actually like that it doesn't have any of that sweetness.
Good point. Absolutely.
Also, it's a very fresh strawberry taste. We had strawberries tonight for dessert, and it kind of tastes like an actual real strawberry, not artificial strawberry.
Yep.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. We had several people come to the Beer of the Day website, beeroftheday.com, and leave comments on some beers. Last week on this show, 2 weeks ago, we featured LA beers. We had seven different LA beers on this program, and one of them was Three Weavers Expatriate IPA. JM562 says, 5 rating. Three Weavers has been cracking out top-notch brews. This IPA is one of them. My rating may be a bit biased. I visit this brewery frequently and just happened to go on a day where Expatriate was hours old and being poured. Ours was pretty fresh, as I recall, when we had it.
It was. I mean,
a couple days old.
Yeah.
J.H. Miller, who's that? Excellent IPA from an up-and-coming brewery. It was a very good one. We're recording this on Jeff's birthday, August 20th, and the beer of the day today was Melrose IPA from Beechwood, and
that was a good one.
That was probably the best beer we had on the LA beer show.
Yeah,
it was.
I was just reading the description today as it came up as the beer of the day, and I remembered it fondly from 2 weeks ago. Trim Shady, new beer of the day user, posted on Count Shaka Yula. Green Room Brewing, Jacksonville Beach, Florida. All the appearance of a heavy stout, but not heavy. Wonderful flavor. Chocolate is very much the primary taste. Love this beer. Quite possibly the best beer I've ever had. Trim Shady, we're going to have to seek out that beer next time we're in the Florida area.
That's a pretty bold statement. Possibly the best beer I've ever had.
It is. And then on the last show, I said that on Facebook, we were rapidly approaching our 10,000th Facebook-like,
woo-hoo!
Facebook fan. We reached that mark, and as of today, we now have 10,101 likes on Facebook. As our 10,000th like, Eddie Yoakum of Philadelphia wins the Beer of the Day pint glass. I have not heard back yet, so Eddie, you got to send me your address so I can send you your Beer of the Day pint glass. Thomas Brody posted on our page, so many beers, so little time. It's so true, but we're doing the best job we can here at Beer of the Day. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay, on Twitter at Beer of the Day, and on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. If you come to our website, beeroftheday.com, sign up, put in your email address, put in your phone number. We will email you and text you the Beer of the Day each and every day straight to your email or phone. So check out beeroftheday.com. All right, let's get into the next beer. We kind of have a strange brew double feature tonight. We have from 10 Barrel, the Cucumber Crush.
Sour.
What's it called?
Cucumber Sour.
What does this crush at the bottom say?
Oh, maybe Crush is the name of the beer and it is the Cucumber Sour. I don't know.
Probably the case.
Well, I've never had anything from 10 Barrel Brewing Company.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, you've had the Joe IPA, I'm sure.
And we've had the Sinister Black Ale that we really like.
Well, I stand corrected.
Sorry.
This is pretty...
It kind of looks like the color does not surprise me. It's like ever so slightly green, very light, slightly hazy. It looks like what you would do if you infused a beer with cucumbers.
It is a little green. You're right.
It's like very slightly green.
And this is a pretty well-known Oregon brewery. I think it's in Bend.
It is.
And I mean, their beers are pretty readily available in California where we're at. This is not our first one. I'm looking forward to this. This is definitely a strange brew, a cucumber sour.
And it's light colored, but a little bit of cloudiness. And it's not even yellow. It's almost...
It's like super lightly green.
Yeah.
It smells like beer with a little cucumber in it. I feel like that's pretty, like, you know, truth in advertising there.
It looks like well-hydrated urine.
it smells cool. Like spa water. And I say that, like, if you go to a spa and they have water with cucumbers... That's what it smells like.
It has a little bit of a apple warhead.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Taste the sourness in all warheads. It has that. It all tastes the same type of sour. It's like It'll be apple with sour or watermelon sour, but the sourness is that the flavor that this beer has in it.
It's the bitterness from like a Granny Smith apple, the green apples.
Like that biting, like, yeah.
Now, it's not nearly as sour as a Warhead, but it does have that the kind of flavor of that.
But very refreshing. I mean, when you talk about a summer beer, you want to sit by the pool when it's 100 degrees out. I mean, this is not a bad choice.
It is not.
I think Dallas nailed it on the head, and now I cannot untaste it with the Warheads. Like, mm-hmm. I can't untaste Warhead.
It's refreshing, though, right?
Yeah, and it's not overwhelming on the cucumber. It's pretty light cucumber, and then the sour tartness is good, but not overwhelming either.
So we've used this comment before where when you're, like, mowing the lawn, and you're like, man, I'm so freaking hot and, like, just thirsty, like, this is the beer that, like, surpasses all beers that we've ever had in that category. This beer is so refreshing and enjoyable. Like, I'm, like, upset that I just found out about it in August. I'm mad at myself.
I feel like I haven't, or all of us kind of haven't done the greatest job describing it other than the Warhead, but it's fantastic.
I mean, I don't know that cucumber sour is the best name. I wouldn't call this a sour beer.
No, it's not.
It's a little tart. Like I said, like the green apple taste. But this is, like, when I hear sour, I think of a sour beer, and this is far from a sour beer.
I agree. I think it's more tart than anything. And the spa water description is pretty good. It's like a Warhead spa water.
I'm actually going to open another one because I like this, and I think we should have a little bit more.
I agree. I mean, I took the last of the can because I enjoy it so much.
It's pretty good.
And my initial pour went pretty quick.
Well, it's very easy to drink this beer. It's only 5%. I mean, like I said earlier, all of these beers are pretty light alcohol.
But I mean, when you like are really thirsty and you're like famished, you can drink a lot of liquid when you're really thirsty. I could drink a whole can of this in a heartbeat.
I think I like your lawnmower comment because, yeah, you're mowing your lawn. This has kind of a fresh herbal taste to it. Like,
mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just the cucumbers, but I think the hops have an herbal and earthy essence to them.
Yeah.
If you don't like cucumbers, you're not going to like this beer because I think it's very true to cucumber flavor.
Yeah.
And it's not normally like a flavor that I would put with beer, but it works.
But do you taste any alcohol? I mean, even
no,
at 5%,
none.
This tastes like cucumber water.
Oh, it totally does.
Right. I also think, like, when you drink a lot of beer, you get, like, this overwhelming, like, oh, man, I've had so much beer. I don't know how much more I can drink. I'm not sure if I'd ever get to that point with this beer.
No.
That's very true.
I could drink 12 of these on my own.
I feel that's a sad part. I feel like I could drink 12 of these in, like, 20 minutes.
It's really good.
That's going to be our next show. Who can drink the most of this
cucumber
challenge?
All right. Well, that was fun. Let's get into the last beer of the night. This is from Victory Brewing Company, Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Summer Love Ale, 5.2%.
Coming in big time at our 5.2%, our highest ABV of the night.
That's right.
Well, it's tied with Orange Splash, actually.
And we've had some of their beers before. I mean, this is a pretty well-run brewery in Pennsylvania. They make some excellent beers. It's good to have an East Coast beer on the show.
It's kind of hard having this beer after the last two beers that we had because their flavor profile was so complex on the strawberry blonde ale with ginger and also the cucumber sour. This beer comes off, first tastes are very weedy. It's got that.
I felt like it smelled a little medicinal, a little herbal.
I don't get a whole lot of aroma on it. Color-wise, it's a pretty clear beer, golden color. Corn or wheat grain type of flavor.
Yeah.
It's very crisp, not very sweet. Kind of your typical lager.
I feel like this one is the beer that is most like a pale ale. Out of all these summer beers, this one has the most flavor to me. If you are somebody who likes pale ales or IPAs, this is the most tolerable if you want to drink some summer beers. It has the most hoppy, I mean, it's well balanced, but I think it has the most hoppy flavor out of all of them.
Yeah, and it's very similar to the Anchor Summer Wheat, except for it does have a little bit more hop than the Anchor Summer Wheat did. And we described the Anchor Summer Wheat, as well as the summer ale, as like a really enjoyable like lager where you would always choose it over like a Bud Light or a Miller Light or a Budweiser. Mm-hmm. And the same with a summer love ale. It's much more enjoyable than those huge mass brewed beers. But it just has a little bit more hops than what you had in our first two offerings tonight.
Yeah, much more hoppy.
Agreed. All right, well, I think that's a pretty fair description of that. Let's recap the beers we've had tonight, and then we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day was. Jeff, you want to take us through and recap?
Absolutely. So this was the summer beer show, a little late in the season, but better late than never. We started out with the Summer Ale from Uinta Brewing Company in Salt Lake City. And then we had two beers from Anchor Brewing Company. We started out with the Summer Wheat. And then we tried the Orange Splash, which is the San Francisco Giants logo beer. After the break, we had three more beers. We had our Strange Brew, the Strawberry Blonde Ale with Ginger from Buffalo Bills. And then we had the 10 Barrel Brewing Company Cucumber Sour. And we just finished with the Summer Love Ale from Victory Brewing Company.
All right, I'll spin the wheel. We'll see who gets to pick first tonight to figure out what their favorite beer of the day was. And it's me, not surprisingly. Tough decision tonight. Obviously, very similar in style. I don't really think I had a bad beer tonight, although Joel might argue that the Orange Splash wasn't that good. But I'm going to choose the Strawberry Blonde Ale with Ginger. Buffalo Bills Brewery, I was not looking forward to that beer at all. Even after the aroma, I thought it was going to be ginger overload. And much to my surprise, it was a really, really outstanding beer. And completely unique. There's no other beer in the world like that. The ginger is a little bit apparent in the beginning, but it's so subtle that it's just a little tanginess. Then that strawberry flavor takes over. And if I was going to drink a beer out by the pool, I'd have no problem drinking that beer, even though drinking a strawberry blonde beer might bring masculinity into question.
Written.
All right. So for me, it's between the summer ale. I really liked that one. I thought it was very refreshing and crisp. But I am actually going to go with the 10 Barrel Cucumber Sour. To me, it's unusual enough that it could be categorized as a strange brew, but it is, without me even knowing that it is the quintessential summer beer. I think that it's super refreshing, super thirst quenching, and I would be glad to drink that beer anytime when it's hot and not get tired of it. So that's my beer of the day.
Yeah.
All right, for me, this was a tough choice because all of these were very refreshing. I liked our lineup this year. Last year we did a summer beer podcast and we had very different beers. And so I'm glad we mixed it up this year. I really enjoyed the Victory Brewing Summer Love Ale. That's my pick for the beer of the day. And I say that because this is the one that is most hoppy, and I'm a big pale ale and IPA fan. And there was not a bad beer tonight, but that was the one that was most like the beers that I drink on a daily basis. And I'm a big baseball fan, and I appreciate the logo on this beer. So absolutely Victory Summer Love.
So I disagree with Dallas and Jeff. There was a bad beer tonight. It was the Orange Splash. But I had a hard time between the Strawberry Blonde Ale with Ginger as and the Cucumber Sour. But I'm going to choose the 10 Barrel Brewing Cucumber Sour. It was just so refreshing, and if I was stuck on an island in the middle of nowhere in the summer heat. I would want that beer so bad. So I am definitely going to choose that as my beer of the day.
Liners throw the fight.
Collusion.
All right, that's going to close out our summer show for this year. And we have about a month of summer left. And I think most of these were six packs, so we're going to have a few more summer beers to try tonight when this is over. When the summer's over and the fall is here, Jeff and I are going to be heading out to the New England area, Boston, New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. And we'll be up there trying a lot of different breweries in that area starting October 6th. So we'll have more details out about that. Until next time, for Britton Miner, Joel Miner, and Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Hellicker. We'll see you next time here on the Beer of the Day podcast.